Welcome to the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast, produced by OOT Social Health, where the focus is on exploring the essential elements that drive organizational success, human-centric leadership. Hosted by Adjoa Boahidi, principal of AKB Talent Edge.
Welcome to the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast. My name is Tiagi Delanrol, and I'm going to be your host today. Today, I'll be joined by Kevin Ramalingam, Managing Director for Total Match Consulting. We're going to be speaking about the human side of hiring, building better connections in a fast-paced talent market. So Kevin is a recruitment industry veteran and the founder of Total Match Consulting, where he helps organizations across North America find their ideal match, not just in skills, but in values, culture, and vision. With over 15 years of experience spanning agency, enterprise, and consulting roles, Kevin has built a career around authentic relationships, strategic hiring, and putting people at the center of every staffing solution. Through his work, he's developed a reputation for delivering transformational hires, cultivating client trust, and mentoring recruiters to approach hiring as a human-first experience, not just as a transaction. In this episode, we're going to be exploring what it takes to build meaningful recruiter-candidate relationships in this digital world, how to balance speed with fit in high-pressure staffing environments, and the role that empathy plays in not just empathy, but also listening in the future of recruitment. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you for having me, Tiagi.
Absolutely. So here at the Employee Wellbeing Council, we like to really focus on the human. So we're going to start off with a couple Proust-inspired questions. And the very first one is, which talent would you most like to have?
Which talent would I most? Oh, geez. Being that I'm in the recruitment industry, I'd love to be able to read minds. I think that, when you navigate having conversation after conversation, just speaking to both the people that might be hiring or the people that are looking for work, sometimes it'd be great if you really got to the nucleus of what they really wanted. I think mind reading would be a good start.
I think there was a movie around that. Wasn't there a movie around, someone trying to read someone's mind? I'm sure that would be a very cool talent to have indeed. All right. So the next question, it's a little bit morbid, but it gets to the heart of who you are. So if you were to die and come back as a person or a thing, what would it be?
Wow. Quick off the cuff answer to that one would be probably some sort of animal. I say that because with so much happening in the world and so much going on day to day that might stress people out, I actually pivot to nature for my out. I go for a lot of walks and things like that. So whenever I'm actually just pondering what animals think and how they navigate through life, I know there's probably stresses, but I feel like it's a different stress, and one that you build what you eat, you build what you have, and it's a very different way of thinking. So I'd probably be an animal. I can't narrow it down which one yet, but
one of those animals.
One of those animals.
Yeah. You speak of the walks. One thing that I love to watch are squirrels. When I go for the walks, and they're always so squirrely, right? And they're just so fun, and they look like they're having a blast all the time. Mm-hmm. But they're gathering food, but they're having fun while they're doing it.
Yeah, I guess the only thing that you'd worry about a squirrel is when they cross roads. Oh. Very much like, and they're in panic mode, right?
You got it.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're going to get into kind of the heart of what your role is with respect to hiring and in particular, being human centric in your approach. So recruitment mm-hmm. often focuses on speed and numbers, but where does human connections come in? And how do you ensure your firm never loses sight of the human side? aside from the resume?
Well, Tiagi, that's a really great question, especially right now where we are in society and technology, because and I will get into AI in a second, but I'll just throw AI into the conversation. I really focus, my team focuses literally on conversations, making sure that we are being people first, meaning getting back to people if they're waiting on feedback or just waiting to hear back from the team about next steps on process or what have you. Really just understanding and uncovering in those little conversations, what's the motivation? What motivates them in life? Because I think it's really something that's, I guess, slept on these days, right? Like everybody's just looking at numbers, looking at technology acronyms. Do you have this? Can you do this? And let's go. But nobody really thinks about like the motivation of a candidate or somebody looking for work, which today is like more important than ever, really, with so much happening in terms of layoffs and people making the right hires and really crunching their purse strings to make sense of who they're hiring. That's so important. And I think that as I scale back to the AI thing, because everybody's moving away, so to say, from the people aspect of technology as well as hiring, I think that's so much more important. So anyways, I really do focus on that. I mean, my team, we have huddles every morning and we chat about like who we spoke to, why they were good, what makes them a great candidate. And then we take those candidates to market. And what that means is we pivot and we say to our companies who are not even hiring this type of talent, hey, you know what? There is this cool guy that's looking for work. He has these skills. We really feel like he'd be a value add. And in turn, what that does to our companies or our partners, so to say, it provides another human aspect of what we do. We're not just throwing resumes at an inbox, hopefully it matches a job description and sticks. We're actually listening to our clients and saying, well, you told me about this a month ago. I don't know. I'm just keeping an eye out on the market. And this guy came into my inbox and thought it was worth your look. So when you put that people aspect back into recruitment and keep it as a focus, I think that, slowly and surely in this industry, you can still make a difference and keep the people aspect of it front and center.
That's so important to note, right? I think when, sometimes I come across LinkedIn posts where I feel like there's a certain level of despair that I'm seeing right on LinkedIn with regards to like, job loss and what's happening right now. So I think how you're developing your firm and like building the processes of how you connect with folks, that is so refreshing. And I think a lot of people will really appreciate what you're trying to cultivate there.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've also, looking back on your career, you've mentored many recruiters and professionals. Mm. How can recruiters shift from simply placing people to becoming trusted career advisors?
Okay. Well, that's a great question as well. I mean, it's kind of two-pronged. In order to gain that notoriety, in order to, I guess, build a reputation, you kind of have to hustle. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Recruitment and BD recruitment or just the entire staffing industry, if you're in it, you have to be a salesperson first, right? Because you're constantly selling and you're looking at metrics. You're trying to grow your book of business in whatever way you can. So that's the first thing that you really have to, hone in on. When you have that, when you have that reputation, when you have a little bit of skin in the game, so to say, then I think you can pivot and move towards, providing the advice, providing that confidant to that individual you're speaking to saying, here's what I think you should do. And more importantly, just, making sure you're doing it in the right paceful manner, not just to get the sale or to get the quick win, but to do so that person that you're speaking to can stay with you, maybe even three jobs down the line, right? And they'll continue to think recruitment, Kevin, You know, like that's the thing that I've always instilled into my sales teams is that whenever you're in conversation and bringing up recruitment and what you do as a best practice, people will remember that. And I think that if I'm looking at the perfect recruiter and how they can start mentoring, those are the things and attributes that you'd want to see and hear about in somebody's profile and what they're saying to you.
Yeah, that's important to note. So I think what I'm taking away is first, like, build your kind of like your knowledge base, right? And become like a subject matter expert. And then feel free to like lend that knowledge and be kind of like really thoughtful in how you share the knowledge with folks to be that trusted career advisor.
Exactly.
Amazing. Okay. So, you know, part of recruitment is really around building trust, right? And so many job seekers are at this point a little bit disillusioned with recruitment. What are some practical ways firms and recruiters can restore transparency, trust, and candidate experience, like really improve that candidate experience?
Yeah, that's something that is a hot topic for sure. You know, I always refer to sales, recruitment to and compare it to relationships, right? You know, in a one-on-one relationship with a significant other or a friend, you keep in touch. You try your best to not wait for somebody else to call you. You call them. To have that good channel of communication is king. So that's something that, you know, will build trust, right? Like I kind of mentioned before, it's like, if you continuously are on somebody and caring about their, I guess, well-being in terms of their job market or their searches, or even a client who on the other side of things always looks for some kind of talent or a purple squirrel or something, and you're continuously bringing that up and calling on them, you know, people then start to reciprocate that and say, well, you know, Kevin always calls me. I want to call him and see if there's anything he sees on the market or what's his advice right now. So just being very communicative, that's one thing, 100%. The other thing is that, you know, being transparent. When you do connect with people, just be as transparent as possible. You know, how many times I've been in conversations where a company is looking for a specific, you know, hire, like a project manager or whatever, and they throw a salary expectation at me saying, here's what we want to pay. And I'm like, you know, at those points in time, you need to just really step on your confidence and show it out to say, I don't think we can find the talent at that salary. We will try our best. And that candor resonates. And likewise on the candidate side. In this conversation, Tiagi, I think you'll see that I dissect my conversations into two different avenues. One, when it speaks to people looking for work, and the other, when it looks at people hiring, right? And it's the same kind of thing. I mean, with the candidates, if they're looking for a salary that might be too high or what have you, according to the market where we are, just be transparent. And I think that, again, like that resonates with people, and then they start to build trust. And it's a scary time we are in right now, and a lot of people need that more than ever, right? To level set themselves as to, you know, what the market is. As recruiters, my team, we really feel that we're at the pulse of the market when it comes to hiring, right? Because this is what we do every single day. And so in moments of conversation, when we can kind of portray that in a simple, hey, you know what, maybe we'll try our best to get you that, but, you know, we're seeing people coming in at this salary range, and just being genuine with that, I think it resonates.
That's so great, right? And you know, it sounds like you're kind of in the middle of the negotiation piece, right? And you're helping both sides really gain a sense of like understanding. I almost feel like you're a bit of a negotiator, right? Like,
like a mediator. It's something of a gift or a curse. I mean, I find myself always on and always in conversations of, you know, being that mediator.
It's good though. It's good because I feel like you advocate for both sides, and you help create a sense of balance and transparency and allow for that common ground for great hires to land with great companies.
That's right.
So speaking of hiring, and, you know, diversity has always now also, it's been top of mind. I know it's a bit of a hot topic as well these days. But mm-hmm. when we think about diversity in hiring, it often does get reduced to quotas. What does it mean to approach DEI with depth? And how do you foster belonging through your work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another hot topic, as you mentioned. And every company is kind of, in my opinion, from what I've been exposed to, has been kind of dealing with it a little bit differently. There are some companies that really, before it gets communicated out, meaning to the external PR or even to people that they might be bringing on to the company with the process in mind, they've really done a great job of providing all employees that are current employees of the company training, the right understanding as to the what, you know, where and why they're implementing DEI into the company. So it's really a part of every single vein before they start to move out. I know at times it's hard because you're moving at the pace of business, and it sometimes is a compliancy thing, Tiagi, but I think the companies that have kind of done that and took their time to deploy, I guess, a good DEI concept or process are the ones that are actually sticking with it right now because it's effortless, right? They did the heavy lifting in the beginning. Then there are other companies that are kind of, you know, using the approach of just kind of implementing to implement and to be compliant for whatever reason. It is a harder climb, I think, and a longer process at that point in time. And then you got the other side of things where when a job seeker, let's just say, looks at a company and wants to look at all the attributes as to why they should work there. This is super important that you have the right communication that's going out to the public about what you're doing. Because every little touch point you have on the public means a lot, especially on the job market. If you're trying to attract a talent, this is super important. You know, I think over time this has kind of a little bit dwindled in terms of focus. There's been a lot of other hot topics in the news and the market and the economy that have kind of overwhelmed DEI a little bit, I think, in the last maybe 6 months to a year. But it's still there. It's still there, and I think that it's not going anywhere, to be honest, especially in Canada.
Yeah, and that's good to know, right? That there's still a focus, and it sounds like the companies that have already invested in mm-hmm. strategies and developing those strategies and developing ways to engage are going to continue to go down that path and flourish, from what it sounds like, right? Because
absolutely,
the whole thing about, you know, diversity and inclusion is really around getting those different voices to the company to add value. Right. And be representative of their client base. That's at least what I'm seeing.
Yeah,
okay. So let's talk a little bit about skills, because that's also another hot topic. There's this competition for high skills and skills gaps that's, you know, really starting to widen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What are the most effective strategies you're using to help clients attract and retain top talent as it relates to attracting the right skills to the job?
Yeah. So as of lately, one of my salespeople on the team, he actually took a little bit of an initiative to start developing relationships within some of the major universities in Ontario to start. And I mean, what that does for us, it gives us intel as to, like, you know, what people are looking for when they're leaving university or college. What it also tells us is the amount of people that are leaving university and also not getting work, right? And then why? So we're just doing a little bit of research on that right now. So that's going to be stay tuned kind of thing for why we're doing it. But I think that when you have an effective strategy in terms of just communicating to the talent market, and really being proactive, when people have work, that's one that you need to be doing the most. And that's kind of the against the grain kind of thing to say, because when we have work and we're employed is when we're just la-di-da-di-da and we're just kind of coasting and getting paid and doing our job. But that's actually when we should do the most in terms of increasing our aptitude for what we like. And we communicate that daily with the people that we speak to. Whether if you're in technology, if you're looking at different certificates, different programs you can get yourself into, this is without a doubt. I mean, I'm not just saying this because it looks good on a resume, but in the real world, when you're in a sprint and you can now speak to a different, connect the dot, you are held a little bit higher than your peers. And that's literally what it comes down to, right? So yeah. I will always say that when we communicate that, we'll kind of coach as much as we can, right? As to different programs, different certificates that would align to their career path or progression. And I think, again, this all ties together, right? When we start doing that kind of stuff, I mean, it really bodes for our confidence and trust that we are gaining from the people that we speak to. So we've been trying to focus on that a little bit more. And I think there are things on my radar for later this year into early 2026 that will probably exploit this a lot more. Because I'm a true believer that, and I'm maybe too optimistic, but I do think the market of employment will start to get better. I think that there's only so much uncertainty we as a community can go through. And I think that when we start lining our ducks in the right way as to, like, let's get to the hot talent, the new technologies, the young and eager individuals and get them working and focus on that a little bit, I think it'll do well for Total Match.
That makes total sense, right? And it's great that you have this kind of like this focus on the emerging talent that's coming out of the universities and colleges, because you're right. Like there is a lot of emerging talent, but also emerging technologies, especially with AI. So I can see mm-hmm. how mm-hmm. that makes for a really perfect storm at that point in a good way. Okay. So you've, in your past, like looking back on your career, you've actually held roles in both business development and recruitment. How have these experiences helped you build your consulting firm?
It's provided me with a 360 of full understanding, right? Like I think that, in our industry, I think that you can be in a business development resource or manager or developer or whatever, salesperson. You can do that, and you can come and use a lot of the same attributes you had in other sales environments full force, and you can be successful. 100%, you can. But I think where the gap could be is the candidate market and the job that is in, like, what's involved in recruitment. So the when you have one job open, there's one seat to fill and you have to speak to 20 people, it is still sales, but the conversations and what you're picking and choosing and what you're feeling when you're speaking to people, I have a new appreciation for it tenfold once I started to do recruitment and I got out of the BD a little bit. But I think that the understanding, I think to answer your question to that is just the full understanding of what it is to run a successful staffing firm. Just knowing every attribute of what every person on your team is held accountable for, metrics, for KPIs. That's something that I will not take for granted. And I have a true appreciation for every person that's employed at TMC right now. And I think that that's humbling, right? When you look at the big picture, you can appreciate the efforts and you can kind of ask for help. I have a very open concept of management style. So, I mean, if you have something that you can share with me as to how I can be better, and likewise, I want that type of environment. So anyways, my answer is just full understanding.
Yeah. Yeah. Because of your background, you have a really deep understanding of like you know, like really the different nuances, right, to all, like starting a company and building a firm. In that same vein, right now, if we go along those lines, what are some of the challenges and advantages you faced in growing, you know, Total Match Consulting in this hybrid and tech enabled world?
Yeah, I'm glad we're going to go through this because it has been interesting times. So in the last 5 years, it's a broken record. Everybody's kind of dealt with a lot of different challenges with life, business, what have you. So navigating any new business, no matter if you're tenured in it or not, you know, you're still humbled by what's the external, right? So that has been an issue, to say the least. It's been exciting, if that's one way to put it. But there's been ebbs and flows. There's been some good times, some bad times. And we mitigate as much as we can to right the ship, to really focus on our core values and move forward. In regards to like some other things that are really kind of challenging or testing, or I guess even in some ways, if you look at it from an opportunistic point of view, really enhancing our business, is aforementioned AI. So in a people first business, you know, I think that we're not yet there, and I really say that loosely, we're not yet there to use AI full cycle in recruitment. I've seen some really, really cool platforms that are out right now, Tiagi, and it's blowing my socks off. But I think that for adaptation, we're not just there yet. Maybe in a couple years, I think we'll be in a better spot to really say that AI will be here to stay and here's how we can benefit from it. So I think that is one thing that I'll say has to been a challenge or advantage, both, because there are a lot of things in my day-to-day activities that we are infusing AI in small ways. Other things is the changing market of the economy, right? And I think that if we were to really hone in on how we've seen success in the past, how we've seen success in the past is by staying close to our clients when they are ready to, you know, hire and bring in new talent and what have you, even in a very competitive recruitment market in Canada. However, the uncertainty has been leaving us waiting, right? And waiting for things to change and trying to look at explore different avenues for revenue, for new business, and, you know, putting different hats on to make that happen. So those are some of the challenges. I mean, if I can summarize, we had a lot of challenges starting off, I guess, in the beginning with COVID and what have you. We had some issues along the way with the ever-changing technology grid. And, you know, the economy is something that we can't get away from. But again, we are very optimistic that, again, we're focusing on our core values and what we know got us here in the first place. I think we're lining ourselves up for a really strong finish 2025 when it comes to that.
That's amazing. And I can see that, like, you're also you're keeping a pulse on what's happening, even as it relates to our earlier question around skills and emerging, like, talent, right? With respect to also the skills required with these new technologies that are coming out. So it sounds like you have a really great holistic approach. So in conclusion, you know, we normally like to end the conversations with our guests by really kind of rolling back the clock. Like if we look back, you know, in your early 20s, right, just getting out of school yourself, if you could give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be?
Shoot, only one?
Yeah. Okay, need two.
My God. one piece of advice. I really took well to being in sales. I think it fit well with my personality. I think it fit well with my go-getter attitude, And so that's something I don't really look back or regret kind of getting into. One thing I really kind of wish I could have changed and probably would if I was 20 again, I would have probably started to really ramp up on my technology knowledge. My technology knowledge throughout my career has really come organically. I mean, there's been a few courses I've taken with some major platforms and major manufacturers over time, which I think was very beneficial for me just to even have conversation with like-minded individuals. But I think where I see some of my peers in the industry really, really excel at is knowing technology at a ground level. And so that's one area I think if I was to scale back, I would have probably focused a little bit more on just learning about the technology more, the ins and outs, even getting my hands dirty with it a little bit more. So that's definitely one. Two, I would have started Photo Match Consulting a long time ago. You know, I think, you know, when you grow as a person, and you're growing with the relationships you have around you, business relationships. I think there was a couple times I can even like pinpoint in terms of years that I look back at. And if I did start Total Match Consulting a long time ago, I would have been like maybe 5-10x further ahead at this point in time. Right. And I mean, you know, it's hindsight, right? Hindsight's 20/20, but, I don't regret starting it now. I'm really excited about where our future is headed. It's so exciting when you're in it, doing something you're very passionate about, with people that you can trust, over time, that every single win or every single thing you do means so much. Right. And so I'm very fortunate to be in this situation where I am right now. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep going. So, I mean, those are the two things I'd say, starting a business, for myself a lot earlier. And probably just, you know, focusing a little bit more on the trade of technology.
I love that. That's great advice. I mean, it's actually advice that is novel because I haven't heard this advice from other executives, mostly because I think a lot of executives have been in their careers for a number of years and they haven't necessarily ventured off into that entrepreneurial realm. But this is great advice, I think, especially nowadays, right? Because the world is changing. I think work is changing. It's evolving. And there's going to be kind of this, like, this new types of work, right, that are going to be emerging. And going back to your point around really providing that guidance and advocacy on both sides, I think it's going to be really critical in the role that you play. So, Kevin, I want to just say thank you on behalf of the Employee Wellbeing Council for coming on and sharing your insights with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Tiagi. I mean, I've kind of followed you guys for a little bit now, and I love what you're doing. So I hope you guys keep it up as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us on the Wellbeing Ignites Wellbeing podcast, brought to you by OOT Social Health. We hope today's conversation has sparked new insights and inspired you to prioritize well-being in your journey to organizational success. Remember, when well-being ignites, well-doing follows. Stay tuned for more episodes as we continue to explore the power of human-centric leadership. Until then, be well and lead with purpose.